Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a beloved family cat return to let her owners know that she was still there for them in spirit? That's what we talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the show if you like it, and give us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Press subscribe. And if you really like it, one of the bonus episodes, you get more than 300 right off the bat, brand new ones every single week. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released to the public, commercial free. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook, you get all sorts of extras. It's only $5 a month. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of the extras that we give out to you to help support this thing and keep us on the air. We do greatly appreciate it. I know times are tough right now, but that is what keeps our program afloat. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I know you've gone down some rabbit holes recently. This is not an advertisement for the Ancestry service, but we had talked about on our program just some of the interesting things that we'd found out about our property.
Yeah.
Recently. And you were trying to do some digging, and you don't have to give names or anything like that, but you were trying to do some digging to see, you know, this is just so weird, you know, coincidental, just how, you know, drawn you are to the property. And then we're finding out these really kind of interesting things. And, you were looking up, you know, history too, of like, did you have any ancestors that were connected to this area, because there had been some similar names that you had discovered, correct?
Yeah, old family names, yeah. That the owner of this property and my grandmother's maiden name were the same name. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly common name, but they were from the same area of the country,
yeah.
The same state. So I was trying to go back and research and see if maybe it was some, you know, cousin or brother of somebody that I'm a descendant, mm-hmm. of or something like that. You know, and I'm finding that I don't believe that there is a connection, mm-hmm. but it was just really odd when I found that out, because I was like, oh, I'm wondering if maybe something brought me here.
Yeah.
I still think something brought me here, just because there's just been too many weird coincidences that, you know.
You don't believe you've solved a mystery yet.
No, I haven't. And I don't think this one's going to end the way that I had hoped, but...
Well, how did you hope it was going to end?
I had hoped that the previous owner from, like, the, you know, the 1860s...
Like the previous owner?
Yeah.
Okay. Was,
like the original, you know, deed holder of this land.
Yeah.
That they had been somehow distantly related to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that would just come full circle and just be really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that that's the case. So what
would have been really neat is if it turned out it was true and we were able to organize a reuniting of you with the original deed holder sometime, like we have a picnic, a family picnic.
Right.
And we all get together out in the front lawn and
sure.
Share stories of the land.
Yeah, that wouldn't be weird at all, considering he'd been dead for over 100 years. So.
It's pretty normal for our world.
Yeah.
So, because that's how it always ended. Like, at least like on Rescue 911, it wasn't necessarily unsolved mysteries, although sometimes they had like reuniting meetings, but it's always like, they're like, it's this dramatic story of like love lost or some sort of real crazy coincidental shit.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, and they're celebrating by getting together and having frozen hamburger patties. It's like, maybe we can make this a little more special.
Yeah.
You know, it would be interesting. And I think there's still more to the story. I think, I find it very interesting that you're digging deeper into that.
I am. I'm just, as far as that line goes, mm-hmm. I'm back to where they came over from England. So yeah. I think there's probably not a connection there. I've been looking at all siblings yeah. and children's names and everything, and I'm not finding the one that I'm looking for.
Would have been even weirder is if it turned out like we trace this all back and it turns out like we have great, 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 great grandparents shared.
Oh God.
And that's why we're both like so happy here. It's like, oh, it turns out we're like super distant cousins or something like that.
I take such great comfort knowing that we're from opposite ends of the country
and not related by blood.
Right.
I heard that story over the last couple of, or last weekend when my parents were here. They're talking about, yeah, so and so is like, actually they're like second cousins. I'm like, what? Like, oh God, I thought that was like a joke. Some family members of mine, not like, you know, like I don't have any brothers or sisters, but there's like some aunts, uncles type things going on. I'm like, oh my God. Not like first cousins, but I think like second or third. And like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting to know. It's like shit you just should never, like, okay, I don't, it shouldn't have happened to begin with, but if it did, let's not.
If they're in your family tree, they're off limits.
Yeah, I think that should just kind of
that's
be
the rule.
Yeah, but what if love strikes? What if it's just the moment? What if they have, like, you know, the moment of making pottery?
Then somebody needs to move away.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story today. It begins and says, at my house, my mom was sitting in the kitchen with our roommate holding our cat that belonged to my mom, brother, and me in a blanket. I had no idea why, but I did not bother to ask since my mom and our roommate were talking and could not go in there anyway. There was something wrong with our black cat that had given us good luck for many years. Sat in our roommate's room because that is where the Xbox was, and I watched my brother playing a game. After a while, I decided to go to the kitchen to see our cat. He looked shocked. I had no idea what to say. I stared at the pet cat, and he closed his eyes until I stopped. I think it's because he likes being pet, but he would not normally do that. I went to stand in the doorway of the back room. In a few minutes, the cat started to growl and make weird noises. That freaked me out. So I got out of the way to my room so my mom could go into the back door with the cat and calm him down. I went in there to pet him, and after a few more minutes, he did it again and again and again. He tried getting out of my mom's arms, so she put him in a small cat bed. My mom told me to go somewhere else, so I went to the stairs and cried. After a while, my mom goes onto the stairs, and I hear her cry while on a call with my dad saying, "He's gone." Then she says, "Come here, Lily." So I did, and I hugged her. I kissed the cat goodbye and watched her bury Boulder. That's a cat. After that week, my mom says she can feel him on her bed. Sometimes I can feel him sit on my lap. Sometimes I can see him pass the corner of my eye. Just a few weeks ago, I heard a meow from behind me. It must have been him or my mom's cat named Victoria that had just passed recently. My mom's cat died the same day my mom had work. I had sun poisoning because I was outside for too long. My mom said she had bad news when she got home, and when I heard the news, I started to cry. My mom did not cry, though, because our cats follow us, and her death was not bad. I was not happy to hear this. I got even more depressed than I already was, and sometimes my mom says she can see Victoria. My brother got even more depressed, too, and so did my mom. My roommate buried her in the backyard. When the girls and I go into the back to do something fun, I'll say something to Victoria and Boulder, and I will never forget them. So, is it a good thing that you have pets that continue to come back and be reoccurring pets? Or does it make it more difficult to kind of, you know, humans need to move on at certain points from tragic things. Not that they're forgetting the memory or the love or anything, but they if it's something very close, then they need to continue to function as a human being. And when you have something that was, you know, like that, whether it be a family member or a pet, sometimes it can be just as close. Constantly not only having a reminder, you know, like pictures are one thing, but another when you're actually seeing, or in this case, you know, you're almost feeling the touch of the animal, you know, as if we're on the blanket or something like that, sitting on your lap or your bed.
Well, I think that, you know, they miss you too. Mm-hmm. And I think we focus too much on the emotions just of the living and don't consider the, you know, what's going on with the ones that have passed, whether they're animal or human.
Okay.
You know, and we don't think about how they're coping with their death. And, you know, how it's a huge change for them, obviously, because they're not able to go about life. They're not able to see you without freaking you out. And I think that, you know, with animals, yeah, that's going to be hard. I mean, with people, it'd be hard too. But, you know, everybody, you know, you can get people more choked up sometimes talking about a pet than, you know, a person. And I think that it's hard. It's hard to get over pets. And then, you know, you try and replace them and it's never the same. But I think that the animals, they miss you too.
That's something I didn't think about. Is, you know, it, as much as I talk about, well, consider the feelings of the ghost, that is one of those places, consider the feelings of the ghost, where it's like you think you're having a hard time over there in the living realm. Consider me over here.
Yeah.
I'm the one trying to deal with being dead and no one can hear me. At least people can hear you, mm-hmm. you know. And I would imagine that that would be a difficult thing. I never, and I said this on the air before, because I had very similar experiences to what happened in that story with my cat when it died when I was a kid. But I never connected the dots as it being ghostly until we started doing this show, going, oh, other people felt that too. I just thought it was, I don't know, I guess my mind wrote it off to just habit and just the habit of hearing or feeling the cat jumping on my bed mm-hmm. and things like that. And I thought, well, maybe that's just normal. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. So it is, you know, I guess you can go down a lot of roads. There's a lot of questions you can ask. Mine would be, is the cat there searching for comfort by doing its own thing? That it, I mean, it's searching for comfort and happiness in life when it's doing that. Is it doing the same thing in death when it's doing that? Does it even realize it's dead?
That's what I'm thinking. It probably doesn't realize that it's dead.
Yeah. It's just wondering why you're not petting it much anymore.
Yeah. Or why you got a new cat and yeah. now it's pissed.
I wonder how many times that's the case when you have a new pet and they're like, people are like, the cat, the pet's looking at shit. All like, I got a new dog and it's staring at the wall. I got a new cat and it's growling at something in the corner. It's growling at your dead cat mm-hmm. who's still there and they can see it and you can't.
It could be.
And the old animal is like, you replaced me. And they don't realize they're dead and you're... your new animal is like, why the fuck is there another animal sitting in the corner? Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, it, like, those things seem to calm down sometimes. Where it's like, well, when we first got it, they were seeing things. And then
they either got used to each other or the other one went away.
Yeah. And quite often, not just to put, like, a soft and warm me feel to this, but quite often in life, when you have two living animals, they end up getting along. One doesn't tend to run away. Mm-hmm. So I like to think in most cases, they figured out a way to coexist.
Yeah.
I mean, our cat figures out ways to coexist, has its pouting fit for a couple days.
No, our cat does not coexist with the other cats. He took over half the garage mm-hmm. that's literally divided, and he will not go back where the other cats are until they go to the barn.
He does, but he's still staying there.
He hasn't run away because he can't get out, but... He hates going to the side of the garage where the kittens are.
Yeah. He did coexist pretty well, though, with the dogs.
Yeah.
They got along good. It was until other cats came into the picture. He was even pretty good with a rabbit, too.
I think the pigs pushed him over the edge when we had to have the pigs in the garage that night yeah. until we had their pen built.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't do this anymore. He went and he sleeps on top of the Christmas tree box over in the corner. And he's just... He won't even come over to use the bathroom. I've noticed he started using the bathroom over there. And it's like, really?
He's pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. You can go over to the old side to use your litter box.
Yeah. He's very much having a kitty fit.
Yeah.
Of I don't like the other animals right now. Yeah. So I guess you're right. They don't always coexist. But, you know, sometimes they do. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. Hi. Let's hear yours.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I called in to you guys about 6-7 months ago. I happen to be one of the many who work in a haunted psychiatric hospital, and come to find out several of my coworkers have been writing into you, but we have chosen to remain anonymous. Anyway, I did write into you about a haunted doll experience that I had as a child, and I don't feel that I did it justice. So I thought I would make an idiot out of myself once again and tell you the story. So I'm 33 now, and this takes place when I was maybe 6 or 7. So a little bit of background. I did not live with my mother for the first portion of my life. I was raised by my extended family, and I was raised out of the United States of America and what we called the old country. So this was Israel, Egypt, Morocco, certain parts of Greece, and northern Spain. It's very common for people in my culture to be raised by everybody, as we take wisdom and skills and we become essentially a well-rounded adult. At least that's the theory. So my mom had remarried again, and she had chosen to pull me back to the States, which was her decision. I truly feel that she probably wanted to turn over a new leaf. However, old habits die hard. My mom had no emotional attachment to me, and I do believe she was mentally ill, and she was very abusive. Whatever abuse that you can imagine probably happened, and I'm not going to go into details because it doesn't need to be addressed. Well, I was very much an outsider with my family, and I remember it was Christmas. Now, I'm Jewish. I had never celebrated Christmas. This was my first and this was my last Christmas that I ever celebrated. And I was in a blended family. I had 3 stepbrothers that I didn't know. I had two half-siblings that I didn't know. And then there was me. And everybody sat around this tree, and my mom just handed out gifts and, you know, to my siblings and everything, and everybody got multiple gifts, and I had gotten one. And I opened this gift, and it was a porcelain doll. And most of these porcelain dolls, you know, are like happy, they have little cherub cheeks, they, you know, look like dolls. This one looked completely different. This one was actually a sad doll. This doll had a little pout or a frown, had like a little ceramic tear, and was in a Victorian type female sailor outfit. And the doll stand was kind of hunched over. And so she was unbalanced quite a bit. Well, that's not an EVP nor a demon. That is my cat. Sorry. So anyway, Mila, stop. So, promise, not a demon, it's a cat. So, I had gotten this doll, and I had thanked her, and I didn't necessarily think, stop it. I didn't necessarily think that it was evil at the time, but it did seem to take a life of its own. And certain things would start, like I had my sister's Night Bright that she let me play with, and it went out. I would have little things around the house kind of disappear. And the way my bedroom was is I had an old hand-me-down desk, and I had an old little shelf, and I had a few of my possessions on it, and then I had the doll on the top shelf. Now, and then you had a futon mattress that I slept on the floor, and the shelf kind of towered over it. Well, I have a habit of bobbing my ankle up and down. It's a soothing thing. I just do it. It's my version of rocking myself to sleep. Well, this one time, the doll had fallen on me, and I didn't too much about it. I figured I bumped it. Mind you, my ankle bobs up and down, and so I got up and grabbed the doll from the foot of my bed and put her back up. And then a few days later, this happened to be a very, very bad night. My mom was in one of her moods. I had gotten punished severely for something that I didn't do. And it was just bad. So I was essentially crying in my bed, trying to figure out what I did to deserve these bruises, because I had never been struck up until this point, and certainly not to the level that it left bruises. So I'm bobbing my heel and I'm just trying to soothe myself. And the house cat came up to check on me and see if I was okay. And the doll fell on me. And I looked up, and the way that the doll fell, it didn't fall on the side of my ankle. It fell where I bob. It fell on the opposite end of my leg, and it wasn't face down. It wasn't face down like laying sideways. It was face down and laying vertical. And I looked up, and I just felt like there was something different with the doll. Now, it may be because I was upset. Please understand. I was going through a lot of traumatic, exposure at the time. And it is shocking for anybody. And I couldn't quite figure out. But all of a sudden, the hair just stood on my neck. Promise, it's my cat, not a demon. Neelix, stop. So, and it did stand up. The hair did stand up on my neck. And all of a sudden, my sister's doll, which was like this stupid talking doll Barbie thing that would be like, let's go to the mall. You're my best friend. Let's go shopping. It said, let's go, which is what it had stated was, let's go, not let's go shopping, let's go to the mall. Nothing that it had ever, stated before. And it was really gurgly, like almost like the speaker was held underwater, which would have been entirely possible because my little sister did play with toys in the tub. I guess it's a thing. And just the fear just rushed over me. And I remember I ran downstairs as quietly as I could, and I crawled into the little crawl space that is under the stairs. You have a closet, and then you have a crawl space. And it's like a little half door, looks like a little hobbit door. And that's where they put the storage in. I climbed in there, and it's directly in the area of my room. You have the stairs, and then you have the back, and then that's my little room. I could hear dragging. And for some reason, I just perceived this doll as dragging its stand. Doll freaked me out. Ended up throwing the doll away. I gladly took the spankings with the belt, and it was just bad. So I'm in college. I am surprisingly a well-adjusted adult, and still don't like people and have trust issues. But hey, I'm not over-medicated, and I'm not medicated, so go me. So I run in to this parapsychology team at the university that I went to, and they introduced me to something called vessel dolls. And what these vessel dolls were is they were dolls that weren't typically looking dolls, and they could be various types depending on what culture you came from. But they believed that that was a vessel doll that my mother either intentionally or unintentionally had given to me. So that was my doll haunted experience. It's nowhere near as cool as everyone else, but it scared the hell out of me, and I do not like dolls until this day. Nothing with a face. I don't like them. Just pass, hard pass. I don't I will stick with stuffed penguins and my mouthy creature you heard in the background, and that's about it. I do not like dolls. They creep me out to this day. But anyway, that is my story. I am an EPP member, and I'm listening to your unknown episode, and the feng shui casket cracked me the hell up. Anyway, love you guys. If you want to use it, great. If it's not exciting enough, that's completely fine too. It terrified the hell out of me, but it may not be scary for other people. But anyway, I will talk to you guys later. Have a love the horse. Bye.
A vessel doll. Have you heard much about those?
I have not.
I haven't either, but it sounds like the mom didn't want you to have a good gift that year, whether she meant to give you something that was possessed or not. You know, it just sounded like maybe she found the ugliest doll she could find, but it happened to come alive at night. So that's awful. But yeah, I don't know much about Vessel dolls.
Vessel dolls? Mm-hmm. Vessel dolls. I'm not finding that. I don't know.
That's what she called it, wasn't it?
I think I could be wrong. No, I don't know much about it either. I was just thinking back to dolls that have been known to, like, say stuff that aren't supposed to be. Like, didn't that happen in the 80s or something? Like, somebody tainted, like, a bunch of dolls.
And you pulled the string and it said something bad?
Yeah. It was like...
Probably.
The more recent one I'm finding here, this goes back to 2011. Toys R Us is saying that they're questioning some of their talking baby babble dolls. One New Jersey grandmother was questioning it because the baby babble sounded like it would goo and giggle like a baby and then say, "Okay, crazy bitch."
Oh.
Allegedly.
Okay.
The three dolls called You and Me Play and Giggle Triplets are made just for Toys R Us. Than the Toys R Us brand. This was, like I said, 2011. So this is, I'm sure, something. Then Toys R Us said, "There's no mistake about it. The baby does not use the B word that ends in H." So it sounded a lot like it. But you got to know, like, who's ever in the factory that's programming this shit going, "God, that sounds like that. That's hilarious. Yeah, let's release it. Let's do it," you know? And then the company's like, "Oh my God, no, I know that's not really what you're saying, but people are going to think it. And it doesn't matter what you really said if that's what it sounds like."
Well, sure.
Yeah. So dolls are just, yeah, I have never, you know, obviously being, you know, a boy, I was never really into a lot of doll stuff. I enjoyed, my Ghostbusters, although I did play, I'll just say this, I would play with my mom's Barbie dolls along with my Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but...
So they could have girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a little different, because, I mean, I used G.I. Joes instead of Ken dolls, you know, for Barbies.
Yeah, and so I was like, "Oh, this is great, the Ghostbusters are coming back from the..."
Our figures got around.
They did. They got around more than they should have for being dolls.
All sorts of plastic STDs.
It's like, "You just were with Winston the other day. What's going on? Why are you an Egon now? What the hell?" And it's like, there'd be all this drama going on besides just fighting ghosts. But yeah, that was my childhood. Could you imagine there was like, if you could like just get a camera on your child with some of the playing that was done and just like, "Oh my God."
That's how you learn.
Yep. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. But I was getting to is I never had like the talking baby doll type thing or anything like that that would talk. I never had a My Buddy. That was, I think, the only like male targeted doll in the 80s that existed, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
My Buddy and Me. But we do sing the theme song, and we have sung the theme song at least once a day, every day in our lives, since My Buddy was a thing, because that's how impactful that song was.
I have this thing where if something weird happens, I sing it to the My Buddy theme.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what all you can make, you know, fit into that My Buddy theme. You can make horrible, horrible things fit to My Buddy.
You really can. And I encourage you to try it at home tonight.
Yep.
Just do it with your children. Think the worst thing you can say and sing it to My Buddy. Your children will look at you in horror. It'll be great. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Hi.
Hi, it's Sadie from Kentucky again. I called recently about seeing my first apparition at a historical site. And I was telling my mom about
how I called in, and I mentioned how you guys have that thing about searching for haunted bunk beds, or, you know, bunk bed horror stories. And my mom looks at me and she's like, I have one. And she wants me to share it. So here it is. Happened to her when she was like about 4 or 5, when she lived in Iowa. And the thing about my mom is it's hard to figure out where she was at certain ages sometimes, because she moved around a lot her whole life, from like Alaska to Iceland to Germany and France, because she was an army family child. Anyways, the story, she was on the top bunk and her older brother was on the bottom bunk. And she remembers waking up to an old, tall, and lanky woman next to her bed. And, like, the woman was reaching her arms out and saying, come, come, and gesturing for my mom to go into her arms. And she only said the word, come, and it was like English was her second language. Like, she had a strong accent. And my mom got this familiar feeling from the woman. And today she believes it was, like, her great-grandma, whose main language was German, but she knew some English. But my mom didn't go towards the woman because my mom knew she wouldn't be able to get down and that the woman wouldn't be able to grab or catch her because my mom said that the woman did not look solid. Like she was gray and foggy around the edges. My mom was so scared she closed her eyes until morning and knew not to interact with her. Anyways, that's my mom's bunk bed haunting story, just a little short one. I don't think my mom ever saw the woman again. So do you think it's a kind great-grandmother trying to comfort my mom, or an entity trying to get a child to fall out of the top bunk of the bed? I don't know. Like I said, my mom had a familiar feeling. My mom said that if the story gets played, she'll consider letting me become an EPP. So I hope that happens. Because I would really like to see the seeing ghosts. Keep on doing you. All right. Bye.
I think if there's a familiar feeling there, then it's somebody that's probably from your past or your family history or whatever, or somebody that you once knew, because obviously you don't get familiar feelings from people that, you know, don't have good intentions.
Sure.
So maybe that, you know, that ghost was there to keep your mom from falling out of the top bunk of the bunk bed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting when it comes to ghosts and feelings, because sometimes we'll hear stories of people where it's like, well, I saw the thing and it looked like Uncle Ernie, but I didn't get that feeling it was Uncle Ernie. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you're like, I didn't see the person, but I just felt it was Uncle Ernie or whoever.
Right.
You know, and I think you kind of need the full spectrum there of that to confirm who it is or isn't. Because I think if there's something that's making an appearance of an individual, you're not going to get that feeling of that person if it is in fact not that person, unless your mind is just looking at it and just making those associations strictly on the visuals that it's seeing. Mm-hmm. But I think quite often that's kind of the telltale thing of like, is this really who we think it is based on, you know, your empathic reaction to the figure or the feeling that you're getting.
Right.
So if that's what she's feeling, I would probably lean towards that, mm-hmm. of that being who it is. Here's an idea. Has this ever been done?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Most things have been tried at least once.
How about this? An adult king size bunk bed.
I bet you can find one.
I'm going to Google it right now. Could we get one?
No.
If they have it, that would be so neat. King size bunk bed. I wonder if it exists. It does.
Told you.
It does exist. Adult bunk beds. There's a website all about adult size bunk beds, because I suppose, like, I don't know, like any place where you'd want to be having a lot of people stay in one place, But normally, like a twin still works for an adult of normal length.
Well, just a single adult. A single. But even in dorms, though, they have the twin extra longs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would be interesting, having an adult bunk bed.
I would be so worried that thing falling and crushing on me.
Yeah, that's why I never liked to lay in the bottom of a bunk bed.
Yeah.
No matter what. That was like my childhood. It was one of my fears. Mm-hmm. I would never sleep. Number one, I haven't like had a bad back or anything, but if I lay on the floor, I will have a sore back the next day.
Yeah.
So I was horrible at childhood sleepovers. I'd always be the kid, the annoying one, like, well, can I sleep on the couch?
Yeah.
That was me. I always, even if the lower bunk was an option at a sleepover, I wouldn't take it because I was afraid that the damn thing was going to collapse on me. And sometimes for good reason, you look at some of the parents and you look at their engineering abilities of they put this thing together and you go, I really wouldn't trust them to probably put frosting on a cake, more or less assemble a bunk bed. Sure. So there's no way in hell I'm going to lay in this death trap.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was always afraid. So you felt that way too?
Yeah, I was always worried I'd either fall off the top or be crushed on the bottom. So
I wasn't so afraid of falling off the top as long as there was a rail. For the most part, there was a rail.
Yeah, but some of the rails, like our bunk bed that we had that was in my brother's room was my dad's bunk bed from being a kid. And, you know, so it had a rail, but it was, you know, early 60s era. So it wasn't like
back in the day where kids were more disposable. And they just like, if they fall off the bunk bed, it's natural selection.
Well,
you actually do have a story attached to that, don't you?
I do. It's a sad story.
Holy shit, you do have a real story.
I have a real story.
And it's not that kids are disposable, but there was less safety precautions in reality.
Yeah, I had an aunt that fell and actually had brain damage. And when they went in to relieve the swelling, she got an infection and she was never the same and had to go live in a home.
Yeah.
True story.
True story. Yeah.
So I don't like joking about falling off bunk beds. That's like legit a worry that I had.
Sure.
You know, I don't know why my parents decided to bring those bunk beds into our home.
That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
But yeah, no.
No. So did they ever like add extra railing to it or anything to?
I'm not sure what the story was. I think she was jumping on it and fell at a spot where, you know, it's.
I mean, if you're jumping, all bets are off.
Yeah. So my dad was always adamant about us not jumping on any beds at all.
Sure.
Which is fine with me. And I've been adamant with the girls about that.
But. Yeah. I did not like the ones that didn't have some sort of a rail. I remember one time, and then we'll wrap up. I remember one time I had a chance to sleep in a bunk bed. We were staying at a cottage that some friends of my parents had. And in the kids' room, it was like four beds. It was two bunks. And I was so excited, like, yes, finally a bunk bed. And I climb up there, no fucking rail.
Oh.
No rail at all. And I did not want to sleep on the bottom bunk either. So I just slept on the couch in the living room.
Yeah.
But it was such a it was like, yes, bunk bed. It was like, you know, like you're a little kid, you get these little fixations and you're so excited about it. And we get there after the drive, which felt like forever. And it really wasn't, now that I look how far away this place was. And it was like, oh my God. So
that was my Debbie Downer story on bunk beds. There you go.
I'm glad we got to take that to a new, darker place than ever before.
Exactly.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help support the show, get all the extras, and keep the show alive. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. And for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.